Blog Talk Radio.
We want to thank you for taking time to be with us tonight, and this is going to be our official Halloween show. In past, we've done shows where we talked about the history of Halloween. We've had discussions about the celebration of Halloween. Should people look at this as far as people of faith as to something that really is just a time to look at kids getting free candy? Or is it, should we be aware that there's something more going on into the spiritual realm? And, you know, we, like I said, we've done this, you know, several times in the past. So tonight, first thing I want to do is say hello to Starla out there, wherever she is tonight on her way to Dallas, Texas. She may already be there by now, but we got a niece that's getting married this weekend, and want to say congratulations to her, and that I hope all the family has a real good time without me down in Texas. And just want to let everybody know they don't have to be concerned that Starla's got me with enough grub that I'll be able to survive this week while she's gone. So, but we just, tonight I want to do something a little different, as I said. And what we want to do is I want you to share what scares you. You know, as you look at things in life, I want you to share, is there anything that you think about that scares you? Is there any situation that puts fear in your life? You know, it could be something to do with health or just whatever it is. But just want to hear what people have to say. And then you know, we're going to kind of discuss this a little bit and then see if there's maybe something we can do as far as people of faith to address this. So at this time, we got a little song I want to play with you here. And we'll be back with you in just a little bit.
Father, let the world just fade away. Let me feel your presence in this place. Lord, I've never been so weary. How I need to know you're near me. Father, let the world just fade away till I'm all.
Baby,
Well, you listen to a song like that, and it makes you think of a topic of fear, and automatically you get to thinking, well, I ain't afraid. You know, well, I don't have any reason to be afraid. But when we're alone and not listening to a song like that, and it's in the dark of the night, or when there's times you feel like you're all alone, you're facing different issues, do you really have different things in your life that you're afraid of? And I was looking at our show history, and I was amazed to find that actually this time of the year, right around Halloween, we have the least amount of people that listen live and listen to the recording of the show than at any other time of the year. So knowing that Blog Talk Mom is always faithful to call in, I thought me and her might just have a discussion here on this topic and then kind of go from that to this might be something that we share later with other people at a time to just see what comes of it. This could be one of the shortest shows we've ever had in history. No, I can't say that because we had something reset one time that cut us off after 15 minutes. So that had to be the shortest show in history, and I'm probably close to 15 minutes already. But Blog Talk Mom, are you out there tonight?
I am here, Wild Bill, and we missed Starla for sure. This is Starla.
Yeah. It's a big difference when she's not here. There's been a lot going on in her getting prepared for the trip, and I just pray she has a good time and that, you know, everyone is safe. And there's a lot of stress involved with some of the family that's involved with putting the wedding preparations together, and there's probably some fears and things going on with those that are getting married as well as those that there's something about family getting together that don't see each other a lot. And there's probably a little bit of fear wondering if it's going to be World War 15 or something before it's all said and done with. And but Blog Talk Mom, when I just threw this out at you, I was just curious to see what was the first thought that came to your mind when I asked you, are there things that you're afraid of?
For sure, with me, I don't want to leave anything undone when I die. Because recently, you know, with the situation I've had with the heart situation, I have you and Joy and even my little puppy. I want to have everything in place, and that's an apprehension. And after you told me about everything today, or mentioned about fear, I did some research, and I was amazed at fear is a good word. It's a verb at times. It's a noun at times. And in the circumstances, it can be like stark terror, you know, or it can all be a restful thing. So I think with my situation, the fear of leaving an unfinished task, leaving something that I should have, you know, taken care of and didn't do, either through ignorance or whatever, you know, that is a concern of mine. I wouldn't say
that's good.
Like, you know.
Yeah, but it's still it's a weight that's upon you that you carry. Men look at things so different than women, and sometimes we say the same things and just say it in different ways. But I know that when I was younger, my biggest fears that I had in my life, number one, was that I was going to be a failure, that I wouldn't amount to anything. You know, I saw some people that, you know, had different addictions in their life and had taken away the great potential of what they had. And so I saw that wasted. And so I didn't want to be a failure. And then I also had this fear of not being liked, you know, not being accepted. And so part of my personality with that makes me a very good follower of people in different positions, because I understand that there can only be one leader in a position and somebody needs to be a support to push. And so as time and experience went on, that's turned into a very real positive in my life. But when I was younger, it used to almost be like the deer in the headlight. It would lock me up and shut me down so that I wouldn't even try to do certain things at first. And then, but there's also been times to where I had fear in my life, like you were talking about, that made me do my best, even above what I even thought that I could do, and trying to
please other people and in trying to achieve the goal or the task that was before me. And it established something in me to where I'm very much into performing tasks. Sometimes now I get so overwhelmed because I have so many tasks that if I don't stay structured on one, that I don't get any of them done. But deep down, if I'm given the potential to do it and I'm not just overwhelmed, it's still, I have this drive within me to want to perform tasks. But then I've had other things in my life that I can remember just scared me to death. I can remember one, it was right around one Christmas time, I think it was, when we lived on the farm, and there was, all of a sudden, I'm riding my motorcycle in the yard, and this guy dressed in all black on a black horse with jingle bells on it comes flying up into the yard, makes a circle, and takes off out of there, and it scared me so bad I ran into the fence and wrecked. And then, I there was all kinds of certain things, spiders, I'm scared to death of spiders, snakes. The only good snake to me is a dead snake, and I have fears of things that I don't know what it is, but going to the ocean at night and looking down at that water, I don't know if it's because of all the horror movies that I watched when I was a teenager or what it is, but it's there's something about the unknown in that water, not being able to see what's there below the surface, that scares me. I'm attracted to it, but it scares me at the same time, which is a real unusual, thing to try to understand the psychological impact of that. Being out of control, I guess that's a good thing in one sense because it's kept me from wanting to be involved with certain addictions that takes you out of control, like drugs and alcohol and things. I don't like not being in control of what I'm doing. I don't like to just totally be just not able to handle the things that come up as I have to face them. And then I hate it, and it gives me a fear when others around me that I care for are going through situations like Blog Talk Mom, this issue with her heart, and a few years back, Starla had this situation with her gallbladder, and I don't know if the doctors just totally lost the roadmap of what they were supposed to be doing, but I was so afraid that they would kill her. And I'm not very good as far as being a support to people in that situation because fear just, I don't know, it just smothers me to where I don't know how to impact or to be what I want to be in that situation. Past mistakes, sometimes the fear of not being accepted or forgiven to try to make those things right with people, that's another one of those things that can just shut me down. And I'm sure that there's other people which, if they had called in, they probably have different ways of word things and some of the same issues of things that just really scare them. I have a fear of going to hell. That's not a destination that I have programmed into my GPS that I want to ever know how to get there and I don't want to go to. That's one of those things that there's a fear that's there that is part of this walk with God that, you understand that there's not a lot of options in this thing. It's either column A or column B. There is no A and a half or B and a half or, like some people try to say. So you have to be aware of that. And then I have memories when I was a kid about people scaring me. Well, Blog Talk Mom has scared me so bad at times in my life, it wasn't even funny. I will never forget one time I was sitting in my room playing with my sister, and I was had my feet up underneath the bed sitting, and all of a sudden I realized she was in a room behind us, and it was one of those houses you could walk all the way around. And when she walked into the room, when I realized that she was standing at the other doorway or someone was there, I didn't realize it was her. I remember I jumped so hard at the top of my legs at the bottom of the bed, it scared me so bad. It just, fear can do a lot of things to you. I've been afraid now to break out in a cold sweat, I jump in a situation like I was explaining right there. Fear is one of those things that it can be motivating, and it can be one of those things that can shut you down. It has a lot of aspects to it, like Blog Talk Mom was talking about. And with that being said, Blog Talk Mom, did you have anything else that came to your mind?
Oh, I think that fear, like a lot of the things that you mentioned, come under the heading of the fear of rejection. You know, we in some setting, we're not going to qualify for whatever's necessary, and we're going to be, maybe even we're not going to be rejected, but the fear of rejection. And I had heard a sermon, a lesson taught, that the first rejection that's recorded was Adam and Eve rejecting God. So he knows what it is. He is a high priest that's moved with the very feeling of our infirmities, that's the word says. And we could go to him with these fears, and that's one of the greatest privileges of going to God and having him on your team, having him on your side, and having him give you revelation and wisdom. One teacher had mentioned that FEAR is an acronym, and F-E-A-R means false evidence appearing real. It's, you know, that the ability to just come into your life and make you think and feel the emotion of something that's not even real. And people that suffer with mental illness, anxiety, deep fears. One time I studied a book called Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. Feelings Buried Alive Never Die. And it was one, she included the Jesus and scripture in it. It's mostly psychology, I think people would say, but it has been one of the most eye-opening books that I've ever read, and I don't have the author, or I would give that name. But in the years that I was counseling while Bill, this one particular person, at night, she was married and had a child, but at a certain time in the evening, she would go into a panic attack. And through prayer and going into the presence of God and going back to where she first felt that kind of horror, and we went there in her mind and in her spirit, we're spirit beings, and we pled the blood of Jesus Christ. We went through several steps of her forgiving that person that entered her room. The horror of that happening night after night was healed by the power of Jesus Christ, and she was able to never have that fear ever again. It could not come in and dominate her life because it was a fear that was buried and it had been taken care of. It's like if you wrote something horrible on a blackboard, whiteboard, and you erased it. Well, when you have a situation like that in your life and you go to it with the blood of Jesus Christ, it is gone. Now, the enemy, who is the accuser, he would like to drag it back out. But we take authority over that. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ. And a lady was preaching about that not too long ago, about I plead the blood. And I was just listening to her, and all of a sudden I saw in my mind this courtroom where all of the people were screaming at this person and accusing this person and all of this evidence, false evidence against them. And they turned to him and said, "Well, what do you plead?" He said, "I plead the blood." And I thought, that's just so good. You know, the devil and our enemies, whatever, but we've got the blood of Jesus that no matter what we've ever done, we're justified, just if I'd never done it. And we don't have to live under that kind of condemnation or fear. We have been set free. And as far as people that celebrate Halloween, I feel sorry for them because I think that they just don't realize what an insult that to celebrate goblins. And now I'm not talking about trickers, the little thing, you know, with the candy, whatever. I don't really see any need in that with all of the stuff that goes up around. We can have a fall festival. You know, it's a beautiful time of the year. Come together on a positive note. You know, come together to thank God for his creation. Why in the world? I've gone by houses around here, and I mean, they must have spent a fortune on this, all of this stuff. But anyway, that's their business. It's not mine. Didn't mean to go on and on, Wild Bill, but this is a very good subject. Thank you.
No, I appreciate what you're adding there. We were shocked the other day. We thought, man, are people putting their Christmas decorations out already? And then we got to look, and the lights were orange and black that they had around their house. And what they had hanging was little ghosts and pumpkins and blow-up pumpkins and with stuff going on inside of it, and these little light shows that were shining on the outside of their house on their garage doors and things. I'm like, wow. You know, this is, you know, one of those things I was really surprised people are putting into it. But fear, when this first came to me today and looking at Halloween, there's so many different aspects of looking at this. And you know, I've had things in my life that really scared me. I can remember playing with something that seemed like it was just a game that someone had one time that was called a Ouija board. And then something God granted me with, even at a young age, I realized that there was something very evil in what we were involved with. It wasn't one of those things that we could just, you know, just play around with. Something inside of me knew that this was something that was more than just a game. This was something that really had something I could give power to and give it access to my life. And so I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, I don't want any part of this. And I can remember we were at a church Halloween party of all things where when I was a kid, and I can almost remember a picture of the people's house we were at. And they had everybody got into a room with all the lights off, and they were doing this thing where it was either some kind of game called Seance or Hypnotize or something. I don't remember. But they had someone lay on the floor, and they had everybody get around that person, and you took your fingers and was going to lift that person up. And I don't know how that whole process works. I've never had any desire to play with it in any shape or form since. But I remember they had some mumbo-jumbo they would say, and it was insane how all of a sudden the pressure you were putting against that person, it was gone, and they were coming up off the floor. And I remember I was one of the first people that got out the door. I'm like, I don't know what's going on here. I want no part of this right here. And so there's some things that you need to be fearful of in a good sense, to know that you need to use a little common sense and realizing that we're both a physical being and a spiritual being. And part of the things with fear is good, and some of the things with fear are bad. Now, I see we have one of my other favorite people in the world that's just called into the show, and I'm not even going to ask them to raise their hand, but the little wheel's turning. Joy Bells, is that you?
Hold on a minute. I'm trying to take it off speakerphone.
Okay.
I don't have anything to add yet. You're on me too quick.
Well, we're just talking about, tell us things that scare you. Do you have anything that just, memories or something, or anything that just scares you?
I went through a period of time scared my kids were going to get kidnapped.
You're breaking up a little bit.
There were stories in the news about these people that did horrible things to little 8-year-old boys, and I related to it. I was very scared of that. But if you mean a Halloween-y sense, once I was at a haunted house and a man just followed along beside me and wasn't saying anything. He wasn't a mom. He was more scary dressed than a mom, but it was that kind of a concept. And him just silently following along beside me was about giving me a stroke. I was very upset. Angela was about to fight him. And finally, a man did make him quit bothering me. It's the only reason that I didn't just leave the whole line.
You know, it's funny you brought that up about the children and looking at things with Halloween. You know, I remember as a kid, I had no fear at all of going to people's houses to get that candy. You know, that was the big deal. We lived in subdivisions where, you know, I wasn't afraid. But yet there were some people that lived right around the corner from us. If I'm not mistaken, their last name was Massey, that their son was actually hit by a car on a Halloween. And I got to see the effects of that. But it wasn't one of those things that was really real to me. It's something that when you're young, you look at things and you're like, oh, that's sad. But it's not something that you think of that can really happen to you. And
right.
I remember he had one arm. Do you remember that, Mom?
Oh, yes, I really do. Also, that school around the corner, Joy Bell, I lost her. And do you remember that, Joy?
Yep.
I lost you. Oh, it was horrible. I went everywhere. I looked in ditches. I looked behind the school. I had everybody looking, and we finally found her. You were sitting on, what was the deal, where you get to make a
wish
or something?
There were clowns. There were, you could go into different classrooms, and I had gone into the classroom with the clowns.
And she was just having the biggest time, and I don't think I ever quite got over it.
Sorry.
That's okay. Oh, I tell you, you and Jennifer would get the, if I gave an award for somebody that has ever scared me, Jennifer would get the award. That's your darling daughter, Richie. She did not care. She was going to scare me. And I'd be getting stuff out of the car, and it was so spooky. It was just so spooky. And she would wait right around the corner and jump out at me, and I'd think, oh, what have I done to deserve this?
All those times you scared me and Joy, that's what that was, coming back.
reaping what you sow, I understand now.
You know, it's interesting that y'all are naming some things that has to do with things that you do have something to be fearful about. I mean, there's some reality to it. I can remember as a kid I had no fear of anything happening to my candy. But yet when I got older, the stories I heard when I was a kid about needles being put in candy and razor blades and apples and things like that, that was one of those things that was very hard for me. You know, I was like, you know, we're going to people only that we know. You know, I know that they got all these other houses and they're decorated and they may have the best caramel apples or whatever, but that fear kept me from being able to relax for my children to enjoy getting the free candy like I did, because I think we covered our whole neighborhood when we were little. Just, you know, it was a neighborhood. It was the houses right there close to each other, and I probably didn't have as much freedom as I felt like I did, but I had enough candy, I was sick the next day. So that's the main thing. But there is a reality to things that we need to be afraid of. And then sometimes the other side of that coin is there's things that we should be afraid of that we're not. Kind of like my little deal with the snapping turtle that I caught that time, and I was showing how quick I was, and I'd hit it on the head, and like, oh, I'm good, and I was distracted, and Dad kept telling me, you better get rid of that turtle, it's going to get you. And anyway, somebody was talking to me, and I left my finger there, and all of a sudden that turtle got on the end of my finger and would not let go. I remember I was crying like a mashed cat once somebody get that turtle off of me. And but, I mean, there's some fear that you should have. It gives you a respect for things that you need to be afraid of. And one of the things when I was thinking about looking at things, I didn't want this to be our normal Halloween show we've done on all the history and all that, because there's so many different perceptions of things like that that it really doesn't matter. And I think it's kind of cool that we're the three that called in tonight, so we can just keep this kind of open discussion between all of us. But the scripture in the Bible where it talks about that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, that scripture has always been one of those things that I had different meanings to me at different times in my life. And I'm starting to see something of this now, to where I see where people have totally lost their fear of God, that they've lost their respect for the things of God. And you know, I understand that God is in our New Testament relationship, that he's a God of love, but there also is an accountability that's going to take place for all of us. And it's one of those things that, you know, they talk about, you know, when the God comes back and when Jesus comes back, the judgment, that great and terrible day. You're like, wow, that's two strange, you know, adjectives or adverbs, whatever, to put together. It's, you know, how do these two fit together, great and terrible? But to understand that there is a God, I think, is one of those things that makes us sort of fearful, to understand that we're not just left to our own devices, and it's not like Burger King, it's not just our way, that God has a specific plan for his people to follow. And as Joyce has brought it up so well that I'll never forget it, the process that we all have to go through to become that finished product, to understand that sometimes with fear, I want to lash out and take control of things. And I found that when I do that, I pray, God, you take care of this and you help me. And then I rush to take hold of it. Another thing reminds me of the thing with Dad, used to just aggravate him to death, would be for me to try to run. He'd try to unlock the door, and I'd try to squeeze between him and the door and beat him in the house. and he's trying to get the door open so we can all go in. And I think sometimes I wonder about God sitting there like, you know, you've given this to me, I'm going to take care of this, and then you run in there, and then you're all upset because everything don't go the way that you wanted it to. And God will allow us to take things back and let us learn in process to run that race with patience, not to just blindly run. And so in looking at that thing with that fear of God as the beginning of wisdom and trying to find that balance in that, Dory Bells, I'll start with you. What comes to your mind when you think about that?
I agree with what you said, and I totally agree that it's silly to say that all fear is bad, because fear is giving you information, and a lot of times it's giving you good information. So in relation to God, I like what you said, that just admitting that he exists, admitting that this is his party, that we're part of it, we're being used by him. If you just know that, then it's going to inform all of your decisions. So that could be called fear, but it's really just acknowledgement.
Okay.
I don't resonate with that scripture, because I'm not motivated by fear of God. But when you word it that way, like, it's just an awareness of God and an admission that God is where all the power is, and that it's not you doing anything that you're ever doing, is kind of could be a fearsome thing.
Yeah. What do you got for us, Blog Talk Mom, when you think about that?
Well, I like the way that what you said, and then when Joy brought it in, you know, how we all say things sort of with our own vocabulary, because fear of God to me is an awareness that he's here with me, and I don't want to go anywhere, do anything, say anything, not to say that I don't, you know, have some things I'm working on, but you know what I mean? It, that kind of reverence. There were two scriptures, one Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So you quoted, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's Proverbs 9:10. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. And that seems like that goes with what Jor was saying. It's understanding. You know, I know that if I put my hand in a terrible fire, I'm going to get burned. You know, that's a fear of the fire, but it's a wisdom fear. It's a knowledge that, you know, hey, that's not the thing to do. So, like Joel Belt, like you both said, this is God's creation. This is God's, this is his. So, I mean, I fear him, because it would be really stupid not to. That would not be the thing to do, would it?
Yeah. What comes to mind on that was, I was at a location one time when I was in law enforcement where the president came to town. And we were right there amidst the circle as to where he was at. And I was so afraid that, because, I mean, if you've never been involved with anything like that, they got snipers on top of the buildings where the president's located. Some of them you can see, and some of them you have no clue where they're located. They got people that, I mean, they got weapons out, drawn and aimed in the vicinity where he is, to immediately be able to, if something looks like it's not kosher, to step in. And that was one of those instances where I was actually there in support of the governor, and that was not in uniform, but I was armed. And I was so afraid that my jacket would blow back and my badge was on one side clipped to my belt and my gun was on the other side. And I had this fear to understand that if I made the wrong sort of motion or gesture, that someone could just turn my lights off, you know, just that quick. And also just being around the president at that time, there's something about someone that holds a position of power to understand that there's certain things that just go along with that position, respect that goes there with that fear that's there. I wasn't afraid of the person, because they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like I do, like Dad used to say. But the office of what they held, and the respect that office should have, that was one of those things that really put a type of fear of, you know, not being, you know, proper, saying the wrong thing, or, you know, just to be out of order. And I think that those things really fit into, when you look at the things of God, too, that we should not ever lose that thing, because I know it's so easy sometimes to look at we're the thing that's important and we're using God. You know, hey, I'm wanting to heal somebody, and God, you know, give me your power to help me heal somebody, or, you know,
exactly.
You know, you're giving me a word, and, you know, we lose that fear and respect for who God is. And that's a very dangerous thing, because like Blog Talk Mom was talking about, when you go to the Garden of Eden, there was definitely a lack of fear that was there in the process of eating the fruit. When you read it, the first thing that came along was Eve was doing it. Adam was watching to see if she's going to kick the bucket, and he saw that it looked like that was pretty good what she was gnawing on there. And the concept of being able to be like God, they understood that there was a difference, was something that drew them into wanting to do that. But their first thought, once they realized that they had done wrong, was not of fear, it was of shame. I've always found that very interesting. They hid from God, but it was because of shame, because they realized that they were naked before him. And I've always found interest in that there is fear can work together in one sense, but then there's some reality to things that really goes beyond being afraid. It goes beyond that wisdom to understand, hey, I've done wrong. You know, I've crossed a line. So going back again to you guys, did anything just jump out at you while I was saying that?
It did me, because when God asked Adam and Eve, you know, where are you? It sure wasn't because he didn't know where they were. He, you know, for us to realize, where are we? You know, where are we? We're somewhere. You know, we're somewhere in the process. We love Joy Bells for giving us that word. I mean, we are. And that is real stirring to me. I know that when I was younger, I had a demonic fear, a fear, a horrible fear, nightmares, just horrible things. And God delivered me from that, you know, and I didn't know it then, but there's a scripture in 2 Timothy 1:7 that says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. You know, we're spiritual beings, but of power. This is what God wants us to have: power, love, and a sound mind. And if anybody on the face of God's green earth needed power, love, and a sound mind, it was Sister Lively. And I would quote those scriptures, and it gave me a different kind of fear, the fear that God, I didn't want to mess up. I didn't want to go against the one that was going 100% for me. I mean, how could I do that? And it gave me that straight and narrow path to aim for, you know, and to go towards, instead of just slipping and sliding every which way on the Broadway. And it seemed like fear was like a gift that God just placed in me, an awareness, a reality. In fact, reality was one of the first words God spoke to me. Reality. This is reality. All the other was not. You know, living for God is reality. And I like this. I think this is really good.
What about you, Joy Bells? Did you have anything else that come out that you wanted to share?
Nope. I'm enjoying it, though.
When Blog Talk Mom said that right there, I keep thinking of, you can talk about reality and things that are not real, I keep thinking of The Matrix. And it's, which Blog Talk Mom, I know, never read the book and for sure didn't see the movie, but it was about that everything is like a computer generation, is the closest way it could be explained. And the reality of things is in our mind that people put there. It's just like the thing to where if you're brought up in a Democratic home, then, you know, you're going to think more about the Democratic Party. If you're brought up in a home that's Republican, you're going to think Republican. If you're raised Catholic, you're going to think Catholic. If you're raised Baptist, you're going to think Baptist. If you're raised in Pentecost, you're going to be a Unity. No, I'm playing. A little humor there.
I'm called a recovering Pentecostal. The Matrix is good spiritually. Another thing about it, just because they choose the pill that makes them have truth, and they've got, like, a lot of special cool effects that they can do and whatever, they're still fighting all the time. Like, truth is not beautiful. in that situation. Truth is that there's a battle going on.
Yeah, that's like, you know, when you get to looking at what it means to appreciate the freedoms we have in this country, you know, you got to really want freedom bad. You know, freedom not just for you to be able to stand for what you believe, but freedom for other people that totally disagree with you to be able to stand for what they believe. And, that is a hard concept.
You're going to be kicked out of the fundamentalists. They do not believe that. They believe it's just for their beliefs.
Well, I've already had that conversation where I've been called, what was it, a socialist and a communist before, so when they were all talking about Obamacare. But I do seem to not quite fit the mold on some things, like a lot of people, and sometimes I wonder, does that mean that I've just missed the mark that bad, or maybe that I'm just more moldable than they are to understand that I don't have all the answers, that there is more to this than what I can ever really comprehend. And so in that, I'm not going to take a stand on something like some people do, because I got enough common sense to realize, unless they've just been totally given some sort of spiritual insight direct from God, that, you know, there's just no way we can really know. You know, to try to judge
right.
what's right and wrong on things that we're not even involved with that part of the process to the point we are today. I won't ever forget, I had someone tell me years ago that a little knowledge is a dangerous thing. And I don't know who that was he was quoting, but in life I've learned that. Because you can hear something from someone and you can jump on that bandwagon and get to just going along with their body, and then a whole crowd comes along with you, and you got this momentum built up on what your whole thought process. And then I feel like such an idiot when someone comes along with something that's just so common sense that you realize, well, that's just stupid. You know, that just doesn't make sense. And then you get carried away and get on the radio show and you call people a bunch of idiots sometimes, don't you, Block Talk Mom?
I know.
But looking at this thing with fear, and my mind went just as blank, but when you look at Cain and Abel, and there's a scripture in Jude where it talks about to look at that Cain. I'm trying to think what that was. Is that jumping out at you, Block Talk Mom? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I'm not following you right there.
Okay, anyway, it talks, and it's in Jude. I remember that much about it, which was only one chapter, so I should be able to know where it is. but anyway, it was talking about
Do you have a Cain. Fear of losing your train of thought on radio stuff?
No, that actually don't bother me anymore. I've done this so long and messed up so much that doesn't scare me much anymore. So I've lost that wisdom. But it's Jude 1 and 11. It says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kor." And as Cain, as we know, with the whole process of what happened with him, was that he brought for sacrifice the thing that he did. He was a farmer. He brought the best of what he had. Now, I got that backwards. No?
No, that's right.
Yeah. He brought the best of what he had to be a sacrifice to God. I mean, I'm sure it was prize squash and beets and whatever it was that he grew, his melons or whatever. And, I mean, he made sure there wasn't no blemish, no bugs or anything on it. And then the jealousy of seeing his brother's sacrifice being accepted was one of those things that just the anger that came over him. Because, and we have a whole society today of people that say, all you got to do is give your best. You know, your best, God don't require anything but your best. But yet Cain brought his best. And what happened? He ended up killing his brother. And once we get to saying, am I my brother's keeper, that always amazes me that everybody quotes it all the time, well, am I my brother's keeper? Like, that's a good thing, but it came from a man who just killed his brother. You know, that's not, you know, if in retrospect, you should say, I am my brother's keeper, is really where we should be with what God wants us to have in our life. But yet, to see the lack of fear that was in that process where anger overrode everything, he didn't have enough respect, and then that goes along with the scripture where it says to obey is better than sacrifice. And if he gave the best of what he had, but it wasn't what was required of him to do. And I see so many people with so many different, you know, denominational faiths of what they look at as to what it, they're supposed to do in God's word, and ridiculing other people for things and putting them down. And you see a total lack of love in here, and we build up walls between us and people instead of tearing down walls. To share love with people, you got to make sure there's no barriers between you and them. And I understand that you're to live a different lifestyle, but your life in itself should be a testimony of the good things that God's done for you that you want to share with other people. Like if they got a sale at Walmart, you know, and it's something that everybody, you know, wants, then you want to share with everybody that's there. You don't want to use that to be a wall between you and people so you can't reach them. So that thing with Cain, you know, where you look at that and you realize that there's just a total lack of fear or respect or that knowledge y'all were talking about with the things of God. And in society today, it's just like it's any way and every way anymore. You know, just you think it's good, then that's good. And we live in a time where, you know, it's our rights are that, you know, your rights are just as important as mine. And I do believe you have freedom of speech. But somewhere along the way, there has to be an accountability. Now, me and Joy will take the opposite side of this right here just a little bit. And I feel it before I even say it. For me, being a police officer, I look at some of the things in the system of what's going on right now, and automatically I jump to the part of when they talk about why is this person being beaten and why are they being mistreated at a time of arrest. And sometimes there are situations there where in my mind immediately I say, why didn't they just do what the officer said? And then there wouldn't have been all this rigmarole in the first place. But I know Joy Bells, I'm not even going to say it for you, Joy Bells. I'll let you take the other side of it and just explain why you can't just lock in on that one mindset.
Because it's making my blood pressure go through the roof. Because nobody's talking about that. Everybody loves policemen who are, you know, go into harm's way to make us all safe, and these policemen that we're shining the light on, and this abuse that's going on, this systematic abuse that is going on, has got to stop, and it hurts good policemen as well as anybody else, as much as anybody else. So
it actually hurts the good policemen more
to me,
because
it reminds me of if somebody was trying to tell somebody about the Holocaust, and people dug up stories of some Jew that did something to a German. That's what it reminds me of when people start defending the police. Nobody's against the good police. This hurts the good police as much as it does anyone else.
That's a good example. I like that.
That's an excellent example, because what they're doing is pitting one person against another. That's not the point. It's absolute insane abuse. That's what we're against. Not a person, not a profession. That would be totally ignorant. That was good,
right,
Bells. You did an excellent point there. And while Bill was saying about Cain, this was this week. I was just thinking about it in my own study, that how God talked with Cain. He could have, you know, he's God. There's another scripture that Jesus said, come and let us reason together. You know, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. You know, he reasons with us. I mean, isn't
I
that
love
amazing?
The fact that it is also logical and reasonable and just laid out for us in so many layers that you can read the Bible your entire life. And the thing with Cain saying, I did my best, definitely is something that lasts all the way through, because you've got at Judgment Day people saying, but I cast out demons in your name and I did this, that, and the other. But they weren't actually following the voice of God.
Oh,
but
that's good.
Saying,
That's really good. And that word, I never knew you, where Jesus said, I never knew you, is an intimate marital. You know, you may have used faith. You know, you may have done these things, but our relationship, it wasn't there. You know, you can't cloud it over. And I think that's excellent. This is good.
Yeah.
Y'all are really good.
Which also goes into letting us look at that God will allow people that's of a heart to want to do good and leaning towards the spiritual aspects of God, that he allows them to use the authority, because the only way you can cast out demons is through the power of Jesus. So he actually will allow people to do that, but it's part of process for them to build that relationship with him when they just totally missed that part. And so you can't look at those things in your life and say, okay, I've done this, so I'm good. You know, and that's one of those fears that's bad, to where you look at things in your life and you try to say, okay, I'm going to judge myself as being good or judge myself as being bad based on things that's happened in my life without really having that relationship. I can tell you from experiences that you can have a certain mindset that has to do with what you think is right in a relationship with a husband and wife. And you think everything's going good, and you think it, you know, that everyone's agreeing with you being stupid and doing things that work against the marriage. And then all of a sudden, I ended up going up before the judge and saying, I don't know why she don't want to be with me no more. that whole process works as much in the carnal man as it does in the spiritual man. But it's something we should be fearful of. That part of the scripture says, woe unto them. And then it goes on to say, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. And Balaam, when you look at that poor guy, he was a prophet of God. I mean, he was doing the right work. And all of a sudden he's offered a reward to go out and cast judgment or curse the children of Israel. And you think, well, automatically you would think, well, that's not going to happen. But look at all the times that God allowed different things to happen to the children of Israel. Look how wicked the children of Israel were and not following the things of God. They had totally lost fear at different times, and God had to come in and allow them to be prisoners and everything taken away and killed and slaves and everything. So all of a sudden this person's offering you a bunch of money, and you're sitting there thinking, well, you know, hey, God didn't want me to be poor. He said I could have life and life more abundant. And I want this money. So, Lord, but you notice he even prayed first. He went to God and said, you know, hey, you know, hey, Lord, go get all this money. Go up there and curse these people. And, you know, is this on the agenda? And God's like, no. And then he's like, well, I'm not sure I heard from God. So, like, hey, God, the money's right here. Is this on the agenda? And God's like, no. And so then you get this thing like, well, I'm going to pray and change God's mind. How many times have you done that? I'm speaking for myself, both hands raised. I'm going to change God's mind on this one. This ain't supposed to happen this way. And God go up, and you go up to God and say, hey, God, is this on the agenda? He's like, well, sure. Yeah, buddy. You go right on ahead, because he knows our heart. He knows our mind is not on the things of him. It's become selfish, something for myself to gain instead of something for the kingdom. And then, of course, I always tell people when they say, you know, with all the things in your life, how do you feel that you're qualified to preach? And I say, hey, I'm right below Balaam's donkey. You know, it's not what I have to say. It's what God gives me to share, and that's where I put myself in ministry. That donkey had a good message to save Balaam's life, and God gives me some good word, but it's not based on my qualifications. I'm just, you know, a little below the donkey. So I had someone else said that I was calling myself the three-letter words for a donkey, and I thought that wasn't very funny, but I don't think they're trying to be nice. Anyway, I stopped over here with Balaam. Does anything else about thinking about the thing with Balaam jump out to you guys that you feel like should fit into this topic of fear?
I think Keith Green taught a wonderful lesson about Balaam. And in fact, that's the first time I really understood it, because I was a little confused at why God told him to go on, you know. But he really will not, like some of these songs that we sing, whatever you got to do to me. You know, Joy Bells and I have talked about that. You know, God doesn't, he's not going to break our arm and make us serve him. He's proved that from the Garden of Eden till to this very moment. His mercy is everlasting, but he endures the other things. It's sort of hard to really comprehend for me. But then, you look, there's a scripture in Psalms, it's changing a little bit, but it says, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is God's mercy towards them that fear him. You know, like that, what we're talking about, reverence, and putting in that place of, you don't go back 19 times to ask him, you know, just. And that doesn't mean that you can't stumble. The Bible says, I think a righteous man stumbles seven times a day and gets up. And God told, was it Peter, 107 times 70 to forgive someone? It's not, I'm not talking about that, but it's just putting God in a position less than he is will never work. He is God.
Exactly.
He is Redeemer.
Yeah.
You know, but I went in a circle there. Y'all pick that one up for me.
Did you have anything on that you wanted to add, Joy Bells?
Nope, but I agreed. I'm nodding.
You nodding? And then it's funny because I didn't even have a plan to talk about this scripture, but then it goes on and says, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Now, Kor was one of those things when I first read this, I did a search and you ain't going to find Kor anywhere else in the Bible, but it's actually referring to Korah back in the Old Testament, back at the time when they were, you know, traveling out into the wilderness. And Korah was part of the elite, the leadership. I mean, he was, well, they didn't call him, they called him a duke instead of a prince. I don't actually understand that. Do you block top, Mom?
There were different levels of authority and that at that particular time. That's what it stood for.
Yeah, but what if I didn't read this wrong when I was reading this, because I found it curious when I was looking at this here a couple of weeks ago, and if I'm not mistaken, their family was actually part of the ministry of the tribe that dealt with the temple, the tabernacle, out in the wilderness. And they were part of the group that serviced the service. I mean, it talked about them going before the people to share the word of God. But then it goes on and says, but do you want to be like the high priest? Is that what you're wanting in this situation? You don't want to just do to be able to speak the word of God. You want to be more than that. And they had this whole group of people that stood up and was rebelling against the authority of Moses and Aaron, and mostly against Aaron. It had mostly to do with the ministry. It was a dispute among the ministers, if I understood that right. Is that what you got from that blog talk, Mom?
Oh, yes. And I, early in our walk with the Lord, that was preached a lot. And I think actually, I mean, it is a wonderful point that we don't rise up against authority in any situation. But at the same time, everybody's not Moses and Aaron. You know what I mean? Again, there's a little line there as far as everybody. Into the New Testament, it says we have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, that outpouring, that indwelling, that leads us into all truth. And if everybody obeyed that, we wouldn't have 2,000 denominations, you know. So, but at that particular time, it was the law, and Moses was an authority, then Aaron, and so they were rising up against that and trying to take authority that was not given to them by God, and it was not good.
Yeah, I've always locked into the part of what happened to the people that followed him that weren't of the same tribe, where the ground opened up and swallowed them, you know. And God talked about just doing away with all of them. And good old Moses, he jumped in there and like, you know, Lord, don't do that, you know. And, you know, people are going to talk about it. You brought them out of, you know, bondage as slaves and brought them out here and killed them, you know. So, but I totally missed the part about Korah and those people that were actually, and I don't understand what their position was, but they had something to do with the workings of the tabernacle, which means that they had to be part of the tribe of Judah, if I'm understanding it right, from what I read of this. And so I was thinking about in ministry how sometimes we get to think in our ministry is more important sometimes than somebody else's. You know, you may have something that God has granted you an anointing in song, and somebody else an anointing in reading scripture, and someone else an anointing in praying for people. And sometimes God gives people a word of wisdom. And then, you know, sometimes you get to listen to ministers and you think, you know, I could really preach that a whole lot better than they did. And then you get to noticing things where all of a sudden they get together with other people and you're like, you know, I think it's about time we had a pastor change here. You know, I think, you know, God's brought me, you know, just little things can creep up in our nature to where we all of a sudden we get this running off our mouth, and without letting God take care of that process that Joy talks about so much. It's not our process of what we put other people through, and we just manufacture ourselves to be what we want to be. It has to do with what God has. And the scripture following this in Jude 1:12, it says, these are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees of whose fruit withereth without fruit. Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea foaming out of their shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers and complainers, walking about their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of the advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto everlasting life or eternal life. And that's the thing where you get that balance of fear to look at both sides of these things. Now, there's going to be a judgment on the things that are ungodly. But when you keep things in God's precedence that he's established, that new covenant relationship that he's established with us, the way that's not of growing things in the garden, but to where he became that perfect sacrifice, did away with the old way and made a more perfect way, where there's not sins put off for a year, but there's total remission of sins. So there's some things that we don't have to have fear of as far as the curse of sin, but we don't need to forget that fear of knowledge of that respect of the things of God to know that he is God. He is pure, he is holy, he is righteous, and even though he's allowed us to put on his righteousness and his holiness and his purity in our lives, it's still, without us walking, without the Holy Ghost leading us and guiding us, it's not ever going to be a finished product, I don't believe, until God comes back. And I think right there it's kind of like when you burn a CD or something. You know, it burns all the music on there, and then there's something else that happens to where it seals that finished work before it kicks out the front of the computer. And I think that's where God's going to apply as he comes and takes his bride. He's, whether it's coming from the grave or you're here on earth, he's going to put that finished part of it on at that point. And we can have confidence in that. We don't have to have fear in that. That's something that we can have a strong confidence in. But the fearful part is to remember, as you were saying, both of y'all so well, is that knowledge and respect and honor that's due God, to know that he's God and I'm not. And that's the key to the whole thing. So you have to forgive me. I kind of got on my soapbox there a little bit, but did y'all have something else you wanted to put with that or correct me or something?
I like what you were saying, and it were really, you know, feeling sort of like we're painting a picture and filling in different areas of the word fear and the concept of fear, and what a privilege it is to fear God, because a lot of people might not. But there's another scripture in Psalms 103:13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And the picture I get, again, is that we are his children, and he loves us, and he's proved it in every way that can possibly be done. And he wants us to recognize that, acknowledge that, and use that as a guiding force to help us, because the devil, and we don't want to mention him too much, there's a scripture in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal. He wants to kill, and he wants to destroy. And God says, but I am come that they might have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Now, I'm not going to fear the enemy. I'm going to fear the one that's given me life abundant. And all of these decorations, to me, they're exalting the wrong group. But, again, whatever.
How about you, Joy Bells? Do you have something you want to add to that?
Nope, sorry. I'm not very chatty, am I?
Hey, I'm just glad to have you on tonight. I just felt like doing something different. It was perfect that you called in, and it really adds to. And I appreciate it. I'll never forget, this thing wouldn't even exist if it wasn't for you. So this show came from your mind.
It was meant to be, that's for sure.
Well, I really appreciate it. At that time, I didn't realize what a blessing it was for me to being out there on the road, and it gave me time that I had to sit down and you know, get in God's Word and seek after, you know, a direction for the shows. And even though it's never turned into what I first thought it would be, it's still one of those things that I wouldn't trade, you know, one moment of the process. I go back and listen to some of the beginning shows, and I'm like, wow, I think it's bad now. We've come a long way compared to where we were when we first started. I'm not gonna. That's part of that process thing. Even though I had that meltdown show here not long ago, we still have to all go through this whole thing together. I like what you were saying, your Blog Talk Mom, about the whole thing about getting at, you know, understanding it. There's things that we should be appreciative of, and we all know about that. There's that power of counting our blessings, and when you do that, it's hard to be afraid when you look and see all the things that you know that God's done for you. That doesn't even come close to the things that we were not even aware where He's moved on our behalf and kept us safe. And, you know, He loved us. I shared this at church today. Just to think that my God loves me so much that He chastises me. And everybody looked at me like I was an idiot. But I'm like, just think about it. He loves, you know, He could just say, hey, go your own way. Do what you want to do. But He loves me so much, He didn't just make a way of escape from me. He chastises me when I go doing things my own way, to where I start to fall away. And because of that love He has for me. And that's that thing you talk about with a parent that just, you know, here I am, my little ignorant thing, and I always go back to this thing with Dad riding over that overpass up there in North Little Rock and happy-go-lucky and hit that rock and take off down that hill. And Dad could have just, you know, like, well, you know, see what happens. You know, instead, you know, I could hear them feet running down that hill behind me, and I had no fear, none. And I just held that brake as long as I could, and I was aiming straight for that fence, and I wasn't screaming, I wasn't hollering. And actually, I wasn't much surprised when all of a sudden them hands grabbed the back of that bicycle and picked the whole thing up before it got to the fence. It was that pity thing was, is that He didn't just pity me because I was fixing to crash and burn, but His pity put Him into action to rescue me. And so when you think about God as being a parent that way, He pities us to go into action for us on our behalf, not just leave us hanging to see what happens. You know, I'm going to observe here, then I'm going to be here to pick up the pieces. That's not the kind of love that He has for us. And it just, I am so thankful for the love of God that can cast out all fear, that God didn't give me a spirit of fear but of a sound mind, to understand that there's things that I need to be aware of as far as respectful fear, but to also to understand that in that process, and I need to maintain that fear too. You know, that's one of those things you don't need to ever get too big for your britches, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't need to show that respect for the things that are holy and the things that God's established, like the ministry and church and elders in a church and the offices of the ministers and things that are there. There's a special respect that God's not going to tolerate putting your hands to. And God has given me a great understanding of that I don't know where it came from, to where I've always tried to be a help to ministry. Even when I felt they were doing me wrong, I still would just swallow whatever was going on inside of me and maintain that help. That was one of those things that I don't know how you taught me that, Blog Talk Mom, or what I saw that put that there, but it's there. And I'm thankful for that. So that's the end of what I had to say. So, Joy Bills, did you have anything else before we go off there?
I don't think I'm adding anything, but I do like everything that y'all said, because the fear of God takes away the fear of everything else. If you've got that wisdom to know that God is actually in control of it all, then no matter what's going on around you or what else is coming against you, you don't have a fear of that because you know where all the power is. So that whatever is happening is in His control, takes away all the fear of anything else in the world.
That's good. I don't know why, but every time you say that, I keep hearing that song in my head. I've got the power.
I've got the power.
Yeah, forgive me. What about you, Mom? Did you have anything else? I'm sorry.
Yeah, we did this in our youth services about a year ago, but it was a couple of lessons on the force field. And this, what Jora was saying, made me reminded me because there is a force field. Can you describe what a force field is, Bob Bill?
Well, being a science fiction, the force field is a field that's generated around. You can have it around your person or your possessions or something, where it shields the things that are important to you. But you can also put your force field out to help others that are in distress. And I have this image of a spaceship being in trouble and another spaceship getting close enough to be able to put their first force field over the other ship to keep the enemy's missiles from coming in and blowing up that ship. And then also the force field is there to protect you as well. So does that fit into what you were talking about, Blog Talk Mom?
That's exactly. The fear of God is our force field. It's that surrounds us. It keeps the enemy out and helps us to be stable enough that we can help someone else. You know, it's a supernaturally absolutely awesome thing that to have the fear of God, to really have that reverential force field around us. And we did that with the children, and we had hula hoops, and they were walking along, and there was these real cute little teddy bears and things. One represented greed, one, you know, whatever. And they would look at it, and they would pull the little bear inside the force field. And this is what the enemy wants, you know, that came to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to do that. But we, like you were just saying, maintain that fear. Keep into the Word of God. Keep reading these stories and allowing, you know, like you've mentioned so many times, you can read a scripture your whole life and get something different out of it every time, because it's a force field. It's God speaking to us and saying, yeah, this is that, where you go, you know. And this is really good. I needed it for one thing, because of the sickness that I'm sort of struggling with. I need to know that God is a force field. He's around me. And nothing's going to happen that's not absolutely in His timing and in His way, because I do know Him. And I have two children. There was a scripture about how it goes down through you to your children and their children. So here we go. Great promise.
All right. Well, did you have anything else to end us up with, Joy Bells?
No, except that Mom was saying that made me think about what you were saying earlier about, I guess this is a yes, I do have something else to say, don't I? You were never attracted to anything that was demonic or that was that side of things. That was the fear of God making a force field for you.
Yeah.
I like that.
That's
that
true.
Mom just said about that, you know, if you really do have that, you know who's in control of everything, who is God, then you've just got a built-in force field that will just, you won't be attracted to things that are outside of that. You could call that being afraid of it, but I think that it's a deeper level, and it's being afraid of God. You don't want to go those places. You don't want to do those things. You're just not attracted to it because that force field's in place, because you got the beginning of wisdom and whatnot.
Well,
I that
mean,
is so good.
Saying,
I like that.
It is. It's excellent. That's,
it goes
that's
back to looking at where, I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's just so positive. It's not, there's nothing negative about it. It's the most positive thing that you can have, gift, you know, but go ahead.
I was just going to say, it just brings back to remembrance. In the Old Testament, the law was written on tablets of stone, and now God writes those things in our mind and on the tablets of our heart, on the soft tissues of our heart, making it a personal thing. That relationship thing is one of those things that you can't say, well, I didn't know, or I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. You know, it's not one of those things, but it's personal. It's like God's like, okay, that thing you're talking about with Scripture, yeah, you got this part of it right here, you know, that you got the milk of it. Now let's give you something with a little bit more substance to it this time, maybe a little meat going to go along with that, or something a little bit harder to chew on, because you're ready for that now. You've came that far in your process. So, Joy Bell, I can't get that word out of my head since you put that there. It's all your fault, but it is so true to everything in life, spiritual and the physical, man, is that there's process to everything. Like I told someone, I don't understand it all. Just like I can't explain how I can eat a pound box of candy and gain 5 pounds. You know, logic would say it's not that way. And the same thing when it comes to playing with the things of God. I found that every time I tried to walk away from God, that one step always ended up taking me a lot further away from God than what I ever intended to go. And it was always so much harder to get back to where I was before in that process. And it's the same thing, you know, about the candy. You know, I can't explain why it works that way. It's just the way it is. You don't just take one step away from the things of God and then you just got to turn around and run one step back. It doesn't work that way. That is like the God says that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000. You're like, wow, there's his math and way of the things work with God is so different to what in our mind we want to put out there. Like the world is saying it's survival of the fittest, and God said, blessed are the meek. You know, it's just so different from our carnal way of thinking sometimes to just let go in that respect and just have faith that he is God and his promises are yea and amen, and he's watching over his word to perform it in the lives of his people, and God's never started a work that he didn't plan on finishing, and God didn't make no junk. So I just went through a whole bunch of little things. My little bumper sticker store.
Oh, that's good. Last night we did a Bible study, just Casey and I, and Joy Bell knows her, and she came in the Bible study. She had been, the Lord had sort of dropped in her heart an acronym using the word time, T-I-M-E. This is my eternity. Is that right? This T-I-M-E. This is my eternity. Right now, the process, what we've been talking about, this is my eternity. I'm working
it's
on
it. It's all you've got. It's all you've ever got. That's where all the power is. Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
That is so good, though, isn't it? I mean, it's not your eternity. I mean, this is my eternity. Everything.
We're
about
already
it.
In eternity, yeah. And
that is so good. There was another, because I love acronyms, and we had the first fear is false evidence appearing real. But if we have the Word of God in our heart and we approach something that we're supposed to do and the fear says, I can't, God's Word says, you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. You know, there's always that reality to replace the fear if we'll go to God and give him time with him. Oh, it's all working together here. Okay. I'm through.
Yeah, and the other part of that just keeps going on and on is when you look at the examples of where you saw people actually applying that in their life. They were people just like us that had issues just like we do and problems dealing with other people just like we do. They had all those things. They were tested and they were tried. But then it gets right down to it. When they saw what was important, we were talking to this the other day, Block Top Mom, about that they were excited when it came time to run to the chopping block. They were singing songs and running. You know, like if this is it, I understand that this is better than what I'm going through here now. And yet, in this day and time, we have such a fear of death, not realizing that if we've really done all the things that we're supposed to do and truly have that relationship with God, he's going to do the part that he said he was going to do. He's our way of escape. He made that way of escape not just as something to say and not something to shout about at church, but it's something that we can stand upon when it comes to that time, a transition from this life to the next. But there again, that's one of those fears that nobody's volunteering to go to heaven.
That's true.
I can't believe that this time went by so fast. I was afraid this was going. I was told at the beginning of the show you missed it, Joy Bell. This is probably going to be one of the shortest shows we ever had because I was just going to leave it just for us to share our input on this, and we done went over the hour, so almost did the whole hour and a half. If anybody else has anything they want to add before we go off the air, we don't want you to feel like you're left out, and we value your opinion. All you got to do is push one on your phone, and I do want to give you a chance to add anything you'd like to add to the show, because as we always say, this is not our place, this is your place. So going once, going twice, nope. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I didn't leave anybody out. Okay, go ahead, dear.
There's a scripture, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. We usually say set you free, but make you free is what the Bible actually says. You take something like a piece of clay and you make it. You can set a puppy that's, you know, if he's in a trap, you can set him free. That's good. But he makes us. You know, God is making us. And there's an acronym again, and you use the word truth. And here again, we're talking about what God's word says and what God says about a situation. The first T is we are going through this life and we get triggered. You know, maybe somebody says something to us or whatever. You know, we get triggered. And we can have a reasoning error about that, your situation you're going through, Wild Bill. You could begin to think, and I hear this from people, what's God got against me? Why did God let me down? Why did, you know, the accuser wants to accuse us to each other. He wants to accuse God to us. So we're triggered, we have a reasoning error, and then if it's an error, we're going to have an unhealthy response. Quit church, not like somebody, do something to hurt someone, commit suicide. I mean, there's all kinds of horrible things that people do. Once they're triggered, they're in reasoning error, their unhealthy response. But when they go to the truth, when they go to Him, the truth is, though God slay me, yet I trust Him. That's what Job said. The truth is, He'll never leave us. He will never forsake us. That's the truth. And then when we fall in love with truth, then we have a healthy response. Our health returns to us. Our strength returns to us. Our desire, our love, you know. So I just thought that was, it's been something that I use a lot in my own devotion. I hope it would bless someone else.
That was really good. And like you were talking about my situation, most people don't know, and I'm not giving lip service to it. I've told a few ministers that I have confidence in their prayer life about it. I've shared it with family, and I'm not stressing over it. I try not to even think about it other than at prayer time. But I do know that somewhere in this process that it's going to be something that's going to be manifest later to show how this is going to be work for God's glory, whichever way it goes. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to stress over it or fret about it. My prayer is that when we go back for a follow-up test, that they're not going to find anything. And what a miracle that would be. Because I actually have the DVD that shows the problem, and then to go in there be nothing, that's the kind of God that we serve, and I know that He can. But the other part of that is that God can leave it right there as a reminder that He's in control of all things and that He can keep it from becoming more than what it is, and it's not causing me any problems at all right now, and it could just be there. And then again, this could be something that takes me totally down a path that I'm not even aware of yet. But that peace in God to know that He's in control and I've submitted those things to Him and I've given Him this issue to take care of, there's something about wording and speaking some things sometimes that you put negativity to it without not meaning to. And the things of God are not negative. The things of God are positive. And so it's like the counting your blessings. There are certain things that I can count my blessings and fears are gone. I can count my blessings and all of a sudden the things I look at as being negative are so outweighed that they don't have any meaning into it anymore. And that all goes again to having that fear of God first to know that He, whether it's I'm fearfully and wondrously made, I mean, that, you know, I'm His creation. You know, the value He placed on me, that, you know, He took the cross for me, but despised the shame of it, but He gladly took that cross for my sins. so that not just are they just put off from year to year, but now that they are remitted, you know, just those whole things. We could just, this whole topic is one that just keep growing more and more. And that's the thing that I would like to encourage everyone at Blog Talk Mom kind of hit on, looking at timing and looking at different things and how you look at it and where you are with your life right now. You don't have to put things off till tomorrow, and you don't have to put things off to think about a year from now or whenever I change this in my life or change that in my life or when I get married or, you know, when I retire or, you know, when I just feel better. You don't have to go into any of that. It's, we're serving a right now God. And wherever you are right now, he cares for you. He died for you. He loves you. And so just go to him. Reason with him. Have that conversation with God. And then he's the one that can soften your heart in areas where it needs to be softened. And he can let storms come in and blow the things away from your life that stand between you and God, and use those things to help mold you and shape you into the vessel that can be used for his glory, in which, bottom line, we all want to be that vessel. So I've got us down to the last 3 minutes here. I don't want to let anybody miss out. Did y'all have anything else before we go?
Nope, I really enjoyed the show, though.
The scripture you referred to, and the whole thing is Psalms 139 and 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I like that.
And that came from a man that was after God's own heart. So,
all right.
We can latch hold of that. All right, guys, we'll be back over here next week. Starla will be back with us. I don't know what we'll have then. I don't have anything pre-planned, but I want to thank everyone that listens. I hope you share our shows with somebody else, and I just pray that something from this is a blessing to you and encourages you to start, if you haven't yet, to have that personal relationship with God. If you have one, to be encouraged to know that we're all in the same boat together. We're all part of the same body. And even though all of us can't be the big toe like me, you know, everyone's got a role to play. And God's looking for you to just let him establish in you the work that you can do. So pray that God blesses each and every one of you. We'll be back here next week at your place.